Acts 8, dealing with Simon the sorcerer. In Acts 8:23, he's an interesting character, isn't he? Simon the sorcerer in the Bible, trying to figure out whether he's saved or lost. We had that discussion last time. But we're seeing this transition here. Okay, so verse 23, Peter says this, "For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, in the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me." So there's intercessory prayer, "that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." All right, so what was Simon's problem? Well, his problem was filthy lucre. Okay, he was after money. All right, and so he wanted that following. He obviously had something before, and now he's wanting that thing again. But he's seeing that, he's thinking, well, I can do something with that. He's Simon the sorcerer, and he was getting money before. And now he wants to pray for the Holy Ghost. Just like you'll see back there in, it's in 2 Kings and Gehazi. He is Elisha's, you know, minister, if you will. He's one of his young prophets that's his minister and following him around. And if you remember the story of Naaman the leper, and he gets, you know, he gets cured of leprosy, and he tries giving Elisha money, and Elisha, he turns it down. But then you have old Gehazi says, well, hold on now. I mean, the school down here could probably use a little bit of money, and me too. So let me just go ahead and catch up with old Naaman the leper and go ahead and say, I heard you mention that. I'm paraphrasing here. Heard you mention that, but, he changed his mind, so why don't you just go ahead and give that to me? Of course, you cannot lie to the Holy Ghost just like Ananias and Sapphira. And so when he gets back to the man of God and Elisha, he said, now's not the time for silver and gold. And what happens to him? Smites him with leprosy, just like King Uzziah, you see. So he's out for filthy lucre, and that thing continues to go back. And so you see the same principles over and over in the Scripture. So you see Simon the sorcerer here, but he does a good thing, doesn't he? He says, pray the Lord for me, and Peter has patience with him. Why do you think Peter has patience with him? Well, he was just restored. He just denied the Lord, and now the Lord's using him, and now Simon the sorcerer is over here, and he has a problem. He's overtaken in a fault. But see, Peter's grown a little bit spiritually in the Lord, hasn't he? You see a brother overtaken in a fault, right? Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Now, so you see that here. Peter has patience with him. He doesn't drop him dead on the spot like Ananias and Sapphira. Of course, that was of the Lord, and that was to show the authority that those apostles had in the early church. Okay, but you see that here with Simon the sorcerer. All right, now, moving on from him, look at verse 25. "And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans." So we're moving away from Jerusalem, Judea. Now we're going to the Samaritans and then the uttermost parts of the world. I mentioned this before. Here's all your references. I showed you how that word preached shows up 21 times in the book of Acts, the most out of any book in the Bible. And you see it here. It has 20, but there's twice it shows up in Acts 8:25. But here, it shows up twice here, and then you'll see after Acts chapter 8, it shows up 19 times to show you the emphasis on what we're dealing with in the church age is preaching. To please God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, right? And so we're going to see that emphasis here, okay? So I just want to make that note so you, if you want the references, you can run them yourself, but that's, like I said, there's more times in the book of Acts than any other book in the Bible. And so when you begin to see those things and you run references, you'll see an emphasis the Holy Spirit puts on a certain whether it's an Old Testament book or New Testament epistle or any of those things, you'll see those emphasis. You need to pay attention to that when you're studying. Amen? All right, so here's the switch. Look at Acts 8:26. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man..." Notice he doesn't argue like Peter. You'll see that later. Peter had a problem with arguing, didn't he? "He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, and who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship." All right, so he's involved in some sort of worship. All right, that's important. I'm going to show you this principle once again. Go back to hold your place there. Go to Romans chapter 2, and then we'll go to Jeremiah. Look at Romans chapter 2. Now, he's addressing this to any man. Romans 2, 1, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. All right, it's judging people, not things. And he says this, verse 4, he said, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Now, we know that now what that is, right? Second Advent. Who will render every man according to his deeds. So your deeds do matter, do they not? To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, right? Hebrews 11, 6. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. All right, and so Paul's laying that down there in Romans, and we've been through this in Romans, but you see here, you're going to see a man who patient continuance and well-doing, which is the Ethiopian eunuch, just like Cornelius, God's going to honor that. He's walking with the light he has, God's going to give him more light. Okay? So what about the heathen in Africa? They got to walk with the light they have. God will give them more light. See the principle? Okay. God's not a Calvinist. Okay. He doesn't just, you know, send you to hell. Just create you just to send you to hell. No, you got to walk with the light you have. And you want light? God will give you more light. Who can attest to that in here?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm a prime example. Okay. I was saved when I was 34 years old. Okay, I was walking with the light I had. I had a King James Bible. I got a little light. I wanted more light. God gave me more light. And then continued. And here we are. Okay, that's how that works. Okay, now let's go to Jeremiah 39. Let's look at this Ethiopian. Once again, notice he said he'll render to every man according to his deeds, right? So your deeds do matter. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, right? What's it before that? He says, and this is the condemnation that light has come to the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Right? So your deeds matter.
Right.
All right, look at Jeremiah 39:15. Jeremiah 39:15, now the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, go and speak unto Abed-Lamech the Ethiopian, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee. But I will deliver thee in that day, saith the Lord, and thou shalt not be given into the hand of the men whom thou art afraid, for I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. Now you see that one Ethiopian? He helped Jeremiah out, the prophet. He's a Gentile. Now you see God over here dealing with another Ethiopian. See, it mattered what Abed-Lamech did. And because he was obedient, now you've got one down the line, one of his ancestors, that's going to be able to bless that entire nation. And up until, I think it was the 1970s, the Ethiopian country of Ethiopia was the only Christian nation in all of Africa. Why? Because of this right here you read in Acts chapter 8. And it mattered what Abed-Lamech did towards Jeremiah. He got a prophet's reward, didn't he? See how that thing? It matters what you do. Amen. All right, so that's where we're at here. So Jeremiah 39, he shows you that. Shows you how Abed-Lamech, now Ethiopian eunuch, is getting blessed. Now notice he was involved in some sort of worship. He was walking toward the light he had. Okay? He's not just ripping him off a bar stool. Right? No, he was doing something. All right, notice this here. Continue reading. Let's see here. Came to Jerusalem for to worship. Verse 28, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet, and then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. See, so you see the leadership of the Holy Ghost. All right? So he's taking them over here. Remember what Philip was just doing prior to this? He was preaching a big meeting. Revival meeting, right? Big tent meeting. People getting saved down there in Samaria. And the Lord says, I want you to go over here and talk to one man. Now, how many preachers would do that? Well, Lord, I'm doing some good work over here. Go over there and talk to one man. There's going to be a nation blessed because of one man. Obedience is important, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It doesn't always make sense, but you got to listen. All right, so Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest? So he's reading his Bible. See the light he's got? He's worshiping. He's reading his Bible. And he said, how can I except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. All right, so he's going to hear from a preacher, and Philip's about to get a revelation from the scripture. Notice that he says, except some man should guide me. So God uses men, doesn't he? All right. God uses men. Go back to John 14. John 14, verse 23. Or verse 26. I don't know why I have 14, 23 there. And then we'll go to 16, 13. But the Comforter, 14:26, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Okay? So, a lot of times if you are involved in any sort of Christian ministry and you're trying to deal with somebody, have you ever found that the Lord will pull something out that you haven't studied in a while? If you're in the book, if you put it in, God can pull it out. But if you're never putting money in the bank, God can't make a withdrawal. Amen? And so he said he'll bring all things back to your remembrance. Go to 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, notice this, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So prophecy, right? So what's he doing here? He's using a man to guide somebody else in the scripture. The Holy Spirit is using that vessel to guide somebody else. God uses men. Amen. He has for ages. God uses men to teach other people the Bible and to preach the Bible. Right? He doesn't use angels. Could he use angels? Sure he could. Use an ass in the Old Testament. Right? Uses them now too, but donkeys. Four-legged kind. You got a you'll go home and watch something worse on television, so get all clutch your pearls and stuff. But, God uses men, okay? Don't forget that. God uses men. God uses fallible creatures to preach his word, right? Because somebody, an angel, how's he going to minister to you? He's not been through what you've been through, right? Yeah, they can't even pray. Not that we know of. All right, so that's what he's doing here. He's using a man. All right, he says, except some man should guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. That means he was killed, right? And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Now, where's he reading at? Isaiah 53. You should know that by heart. If you're ever dealing with somebody, you want to take them to the Old Testament? Okay, boom, take them there. Because we're dealing with the atonement, justification. All right, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. See the revelation given to Philip? Nobody else preached Isaiah 53 up to this point. But here he is, and it says, look at back at Isaiah 53. Look at it. Nobody else is preaching that, but Philip gets a revelation from who? Holy Spirit. Got to reveal things in Scripture to you. Look at Isaiah 53:11. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. There's a sin offering, right? By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify the Jew. Many. Who's the many? But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name, whosoever. Right? For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong. That's in the millennium. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. We know that, right? The two thieves. And he bare the sin of many. There it is again. And made intercession for the transgressors. There's the priest after the order of Melchizedek. The high priest. Making intercession. Right? There's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, right? You see all that packed right there in two verses in Isaiah 53. Now, we have that revelation, don't we? Because we have a completed Bible. So we can look at this and go, yeah, look, compare Scripture to Scripture. I know exactly what that's talking about. But what happens when you take a Jew there? They're blinded. They don't want to see it. They won't see it. You can take them right there and they'll say that's Hezekiah or somebody else. And they can't see that we can see. Isn't that a blessing? A bunch of Gentile dogs sitting in here reading the Scripture, taking back the Old Testament. So, yeah, here he is. Not even a question who that is. Amen. Thank God for that. All right, let's go back to Acts chapter 8. So he preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, what do you think he, you know, what have you said before? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Right? But what does he say? Look at Acts 8:37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now let's see what this matches. Go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. See a big shift here, right? Romans 10:9. It's the word of faith which we preach. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that makes him God in the flesh, right? And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Notice this, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What did the Ethiopian eunuch do? Right there. He confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He believed in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, because he just showed him Isaiah 53. Right? And he believed on him. That's your salvation. That's how you got saved, and that's how I got saved. That pool had nothing to do with it. That pool was just a public display of what had already taken place when I believed. I identified with Christ, death, burial, resurrection. You see the shift? Now, been over this 1,000 times. That verse... Get you a new Bible and check it out. If you think I'm lying, that thing's taken out. Acts 8:37. Brother, you got a on that program right there. Is that you have the new versions on that? Do you have any other versions? Okay. What? Okay. What's the other version you have there? Okay. So either one of those have 8:37 in them. Yeah, so the NIV, you just heard it, does not have Acts 8:37. ESV doesn't have it. Most of your new Bibles are not going to have it. Some of them may, but the majority of your new Bibles are not going to have that. And they'll say, the older and better manuscripts do not have this. Is that deceitful? Absolutely it is. Now, if you don't know anything about manuscript evidence and somebody just gets in there and they go, well, I mean, some scholar said this, so it must be true. Do you think that's important? Acts 8:37? You better believe it is. That's why you better have you a King James Bible. Because that right there is your salvation. That's how you're saved. Let's look at it again. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, just like Paul says, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. All right, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, no sprinkling, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So he went down to the water, right? And when they were come up out of the water, verse 39, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on him with on his way rejoicing. So there's proof, right? But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So you'll see there, not only do you see salvation, okay, but you do see baptism by immersion. That's why we baptize people. We just went through that, right? We identify with Jesus Christ, we take them down in the water, we bring them back up. We don't sprinkle water. When you die, nobody stands you up next to a tree and throws dirt on you. Right? So why in the world would you sprinkle somebody? Well, that's a whole different lesson. Got to go all the way back to Plato and Greek philosophy and much nonsense. But that's what the Catholic Church did still does. Methodists do it. Lutherans do it. Who's ever a member of or part of a Methodist or Lutheran before you got saved? Okay? I see it in the Methodist church all the time. They'd sprinkle babies. Of course, I didn't know anything at the time. I just thought, okay. I mean, I didn't really understand how a baby can accept what's being preached. I mean, it's just use some common sense, right? Amen. So, anyway, that's what they still do. A lot of folks have been killed over baby sprinkling because they didn't believe in it. It's one of the number one issues in the Dark Ages. Matter of fact, the Anabaptists, the rebaptizers, they were persecuted by Luther and a lot of those reformers, okay, because they still believed in baby sprinkling. And a lot of folks got their heads cut off. That's how Menno Simons got started. That's where the Mennonites came from. He used to be a priest and saw a man get his head cut off, and he said, why is he getting his head cut off? Out in the town square, because he rebaptized somebody. He said, I don't remember that ever being in the Bible. So he went and got in his Bible, like the Bereans. He was more honorable than the rest, and he realized, man, we're wrong. When he got converted, he got saved. And that's where your Mennonites and all them come, and all those folks come from. A lot of folks were killed over that one issue. Thank God we're in America and that doesn't take place yet. Amen? All right, let's continue on. Acts chapter 9, we're going to see the Apostle Paul here. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. All right, so he's seeking out to kill them. Right, go back to Esther, look at the correlation. Esther chapter 3. Look at verse 13. Isn't that interesting? What is 3 times 13? 39. What's 13 a number of? Rebellion and a curse. How many books are in the Old Testament? 39. What's the Old Testament end with? What word? Curse. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Look at Galatians 3:13. Another one. Got to look at them. Now look at here. Esther 3:13. The word Jew shows up in Esther more than any other book in the Bible. Okay? And God does not show up. The word God does not show up in Esther. That's something to note. Notice this, though. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces, to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, just like in Paul's day. And one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, to take the spoil of them for a prey, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, that they should be ready against that day. And remember when the Lord tells them in Exodus, he said, be ready against the third day? He's going to come back. Look at the correlation. The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given to Shushan, the palace. And the king of Haman sat down to drink, but the city Shushan was perplexed. That's the capital. So back in the day when they set out, there was a pogrom, they were going to kill all the Jews, and Haman is up to this. He's a type of the Antichrist, all right? And he's an Agagite, which, you know, Saul was supposed to kill King Agag, and he didn't. And this is the fruit of it. He let one get away, and his, later comes back, and he's going to try to kill all the Jews. So they sent out letters for them to be drugged back and be killed. And you're seeing the same thing over here in Acts chapter 9. But now this time, it's a Jew that's doing it. All right, go back here to Acts chapter 9. So that was the how things were done in that day. So he seeks them out letters. He's getting an arrest warrant is what he's getting. Same thing as you do today, right? Look at verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? So if you touch anybody and you touch one of his, that's his body. So it shows you the church. There's the body of Christ. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What's the pricks? What's he kicking against? Kicking against that conscience. Right? Something happened back in Acts chapter 7. What happened in Acts chapter 7? Stephen is stoned. Stephen means a crown. So Stephen's stoned. You have Saul of Tarsus standing there holding the coats of the men who did it. That bothered him. Where? In the heart. And the whole time he's going around, he's kicking against them pricks. That conscience was affected when he saw Stephen stone. Of course, the Lord knows your heart. Then he comes to him here on the road to Damascus. All right? Now, this is about 37 A.D. when this takes place in Saul's conversion. You know that because if you go to Galatians 2:1, he says, Then 14 years afterward, we went up to Jerusalem. That's 51 A.D. I'm just giving you a little backstory on the history of this thing. 51 A.D. is a council at Jerusalem. So this right here is about 37 A.D., about 4 years after the Lord's ascension. Okay? And he says, Who art thou? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembles at his word, and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Amen? So he doesn't argue. He sees the Lord, and he's converted. He believes that's the Lord. He's been persecuting the church the whole time. All right? Now let's go to, look at this principle here. Go to Romans 5:19. Notice the voice. Notice the light. Been talking about the light, the voice. Look at Romans 5, 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. All right, so who's the disobedience of one? That's Adam, right? Go back to Genesis chapter 3. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. Let's look at this thing. Genesis 3:7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, trying to cover up their sin, right? Self-righteousness, okay? And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. So Paul hears a great voice, doesn't he? They heard a voice. First time that word shows up in your Bibles, right there. And the first time it shows up, man hides himself from the voice of God. By one man's disobedience, many, notice that, but as many as received him, right? Many were made sinners. So, we're going to need an atonement. We're going to need a payment for that sin. Right? Because of disobedience, many were made sinners, but because of obedience, many shall be made righteous. All right? So let's look another man. Here's a voice. Look at Genesis 22. Look at Genesis 22. Genesis 22:18. And in thy seed shall all nations, all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. First time obeyed shows up, right there. Abraham obeyed the voice of God. He was obedient. See, man, one man's obedience, many people are blessed because of Abraham's obedience. Okay? The Lord Jesus Christ was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. See how disobedience leads to curse? Obedience leads to righteousness. Now, Paul hears a great voice, sees a light. He's got the light that he has. He sees that light. Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. Now, many are going to be made righteous because Paul's obedience. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He didn't say, Lord, you know, I sat under the feet of Gamaliel. You know, I'm kind of a big deal in my religion, and, you know, I can preach a little bit, and, you know, I'd sure be an asset to your crew over here. Right? No, he just says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And because of Paul's obedience, we're sitting here today. Greatest apostle the Lord ever had was this man here, Saul of Tarsus. And the world hates him. Amen? So you can see that principle there. Paul was obedient. God is more interested in your obedience than he is anything else. Once you're saved, your obedience matters, and that's how you're going to have fellowship, is being obedient. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't be agreed with God and go against God. If you're being disobedient, you're not in fellowship. You're being stubborn, and stubborn is as a sin of idolatry. Rebellion is witchcraft, right? So you see that here. All right, go back to Acts chapter 9. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Verse 6, what wilt thou have me to do? All right, and he said, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Notice the waiting. He doesn't tell him how long. He's got to wait. Here's that patience that is woven into there. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. All right. There's a couple different accounts of this right here. Folks have a hard time with this. They think the Bible contradicts. All right, so let's go to Acts. Notice what it says. Verse 7, it says, hearing a voice. So these ones hearing a voice. But seeing no man, right? Is that what it says? Seeing no man. Okay, now let's go to Acts 22. Paul's going to be giving the account again. All right, look at verse 9, 22:9. And they that were with me saw indeed a light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Okay, so what's this one say? So, these ones saw a light. They saw a light, but heard not the voice. Right? Well, there must be a contradiction. Because you got two passages saying contradictory things, right? Hearing a voice, seeing no man. Saw light, heard not the voice. So what are you going to do with that verse? You going to believe the Bible, or are you going to sit there and doubt it and change it? I'll show you something. Go back to Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6. Who are these men with him? What nation are they from? With Saul of Tarsus, what nation are these men from? You can answer, come on. Who would they be? What nation would they be? They'd be Jews, right? All right. Look at Isaiah 6:10. Make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes. Notice this. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Some hear a voice, but they see no man. Remember at the Mount of Transfiguration, what did Peter, James, and John see? But then when he came down, when they left, they saw no man but Jesus. Right? The other ones see a light, but they don't hear. You've got to both hear, and you've got to see. That Jew's got to hear and got to see. Those men that were with Saul of Tarsus, some heard, didn't see. Some saw, didn't hear. You've got to have both. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He shut that door, and the rest were blinded. They didn't believe in the first place. That Bible never contradicts. There's an answer. That's what you're seeing right there. Now, go back to Acts 26. Acts 26, you'll see the same thing, and I think it's in Daniel chapter 10, the ones that are with Daniel. You'll see the same kind of thing take place. If we have time, I'll go there. Acts 26. This is a more detailed account of what happens here at Acts chapter 9. At midday, verse 13, O king, just like the sun in his strength, I saw the way of the light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. When we were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So what's the language in heaven? Hebrew. It's the pure language, right? And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, but rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to that make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Amen. That's his purpose. Right? Notice that he said to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Go back to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Look at Isaiah 42, verse 6. It talks about mine elect 42:1, which is Jesus Christ. Isaiah 42:6, I the Lord have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people. Notice this, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. All right, continue reading. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare before they spring forth. I tell you them, he's made a new and living way. Notice how he's a light to the Gentiles. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that candlestick? I told you that Paul is a pattern. And that tabernacle, right? What's in that tabernacle? You got the menorah. Okay, that's what you see in Revelation chapter 1. And that branch in the middle is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord's branch, and he's got these other branches, right? So that's the light. Seven spirits of God, but who is carrying that light right now? That's Paul. Paul's going to carry that light to the Gentiles. So you see the dual type? So he's taking that light. That's what the Lord told him. He's going to take that light that God gave to Saul of Tarsus and take it to the Gentiles. And we are benefits of that. You think Saul of Tarsus is important? Why do you think they want to attack him? Amen? So you see the dual type. I told you I'd take you to Daniel. Look over here in Daniel. I think it's Daniel chapter 10. Look at Daniel 10:7. Well, look at verse 5. Daniel gets a revelation. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Ephesus. Who would that be? It'd be the Lord, just like Revelation chapter 1. He's got on priest garments. His body also was like beryl, and his face as the appearance of the lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled from to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision. There remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, and set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and to stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent, and am he that had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. There's Daniel, right? Look at Revelation chapter 1. Seeing the same things. What's Paul seeing on the road to Damascus? He sees a great light. What's that Jew going to see in the middle of that tribulation? They're going to see a great light. Amen? Revelation chapter 1. Verse 13, verse 12, and I turned to see the voice. There's that voice that spake with me, and he turned. Being turned, I saw the seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps of the golden girdle, and his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, just like Daniel 10. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And boy, did they ever on the cross of Calvary. Amen? And his feet and his voice as the sound of many waters, just like Daniel 10. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun that shineth in his strength, just like Paul sees at noonday at his conversion. See the type? And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me and said, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Now, what do you got to have to open a door? You got to have keys. Who's got them? Jesus Christ. That door of faith is going to be open to that Gentile right here. And Saul of Tarsus takes that light to the Gentiles. You seeing it? Amen. All right, I think we went over time there. But you had to see those things. Any questions? Is this book interesting? Amen. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just do thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the truth you've given us, Lord, and preserved it for us. Thank you for this Bible. Thank you for the men that came before us and shed blood to protect it. And Father, we just do pray for the service today, Lord. Pray for all those that are in attendance. Pray for those that are hurting right now, Lord. And just pray that you give them grace. Pray for Brother Barry as he leads the singing. Pray for a pastor as he preaches one more time. Just fill him up, anoint him, Lord. Give him what we need to hear. In Lord Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen.